Let's get going on our phony forced podcast here. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shaw.
Don't do that, you guys. Jeez. It's like running a kindergarten for wet brains.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shaw.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are going to talk today a little bit about music on stage and I don't know how long this technology has been around. It's been around maybe, 10 years or so at least.
Oh, at least, Some people used to do it even before.
Yeah, use of recorded music and particularly click tracks on stage for musicals.
Yeah, we're not talking about lip syncing.
Not talking about lip syncing or karaoke, although it's sort of like karaoke, I guess. But the click tracks are kind of a programmable, controllable kind of soundtrack that you can use on stage for musicals when you don't have an orchestra.
And they're pretty amazing. We've only used at our home theater here, we've only used it once. It's an interesting technology, and we had to buy some special equipment to do it. There are different types of click tracks that you can purchase. Most of them run through your computer keyboard.
Some of them sound like accordions.
Some of them do, and some of them are bad. Some of them are really, really good. We had to buy a special keyboard that we used in conjunction with our computer system.
Gotcha.
That called for prompts. So it actually looks like a mini keyboard, but in the long run, it's actually a prompting board. They gave us a printout, and you cut out the little things and you tape them onto the keys so you know what key does what.
But it looks like a piano keyboard.
Like a piano keyboard, but in the end, it really is more like a control board in a way.
Well, let me ask you, since I have only listened to places where they use tracks, is it difficult to follow? I mean, if you're a singer, if you screw up your opening lines, are you like dead because the music goes round and round and it doesn't stop here, you know?
Well, no, you know, the good ones, there are good click tracks, and I would assume there are bad click tracks out there.
Click tracks.
Well, they're cheaper, but they're also maybe not necessarily as well thought out. And there are a number of organizations that are doing click tracks now. Music Theater International is really probably well known for theirs, but I know Theatrical Rights Worldwide also has a click track system that they work. But I think these systems are really kind of only as good as the person necessarily that's running them. So you need to have somebody who's technologically okay. You know, they can't be illiterate when it comes to a keyboard.
Right.
But at the same time, they need to have a certain amount of musicality in their body as well, so they kind of get a feel for it. A music director is really kind of a key person to maybe even run it. They are very performer friendly. There are repeats. There are moments where you can repeat. Now there are also moments where you can't.
Yeah.
So like if you're singing and you forget your lyric, the music is going to continue. I mean, there's a hold button. You can hit a hold, but that, it doesn't necessarily mean that the person's going to come back.
Yeah.
But if you're in a spoken moment in a song, there are ways of touching the keyboard that will hold into a repeat until you ask it to move forward.
So it's like a vamp. Oh,
it doesn't rush you if it's like dramatic dialogue in the middle of a song.
Exactly. But the good thing about that is a lot of times, especially if these are available at the beginning of your rehearsal process.
Yeah.
So you get to a point where the person running the computer knows, this says we can repeat until we need to stop, but we know to get the dialogue in, we only need to repeat it 4 times. So, you write into your score 4 times, and then when that fourth one hits, then you ask it to move on. So it's kind of a really cool thing to have if you get it up front. Now, I'm going to say that when we did 9 to 5, we didn't get it until 2 weeks before the show opened. And so, because up to that point, we were still really trying to get a live orchestra in place. And it just never came to fruition. And so we got scared and said, how are we going to make this work? and we ended up purchasing the click track to use. But it was a nice, it was, if we had had it at the beginning of the process, it would have been a much easier thing to use and for the actors to get used to.
Yeah. Well, all I can say is, as an observer, a listener to these, that I've heard, at least 4 or 5 productions locally that have used them, and where they opt to get like a full orchestra, it's absolutely gorgeous. And it really tricks your mind into thinking that even though there's nothing in the pit but audience, that there's a whole orchestra down there supporting. And it's got to be good for the singers too. I mean, they have to know it's better to sing with violins humming behind you than it is just with a piano.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm. Sure.
I mean, I would think. But then I've heard some tracks that I don't know if they were less expensive or what, but they literally sounded like an accordion. Or, you know, or mm-hmm. just not even
or a cheap keyboard.
Yeah, or a very cheap keyboard.
Well, and the recommendation for a lot of these click tracks is that you try to add instrumentation as much as you can.
Yeah.
Live instrumentation.
Did they? Oh,
so more
I
than
see.
More
okay.
than just piano. So
you play along with it.
Right.
Essence,
yeah. And so, yeah, basically you have as much live orchestra as you can. And then what's cool about them is that you can remove voices. So, like, if you've got a trumpet player, then you just take the trumpet out of the soundtrack.
If
you have a trombone or, you know, and so that actually can be a nice way of getting live musicians involved. And they said it makes it appear even more natural
you get a fuller sound because you filled in the instrumentation you don't have with the click track then too.
Okay.
So you've got a lot of options. There,
right.
Then my question is it better to have just a plain track? I mean, a regular track. Without outside instrumentation, or to get maybe not really great players who will come in and toot a few notes and mm-hmm. fill in and make it sound not so good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't had an experience with it
because
the piano played live, but that was the only thing playing live for us.
Well, I've heard some, like the last orchestra that I heard here was excellent. And I have to say the majority of orchestras that I've heard have been less than excellent. And sometimes I wished I'd had my earplugs.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Right.
But I think even a lesser click track that's all the right notes would be better than.
The right
than
notes
an
are good. Right notes are good.
Right notes are help.
Good. Yeah.
Than an orchestra that plays blats and beeps and off key notes.
So yeah. you're now, is there what goes into making the choice? Do you always, other than that, you just can't get the players?
Is there
an issue of, gee, the click track is a better choice for this as opposed to live sometimes?
I think that can be. I also think that it's a monetary decision sometimes too. You know, a click track can cost $2,000. If you've got volunteer musicians who are coming in to play for free, then
even if
and
they're
you don't
not ha- really and, good,
yeah, but you know, then you're talking about if you're using the click track, then you're a small organization trying to find an underwriter who can underwrite the click track, because most people don't have that kind of a budget for their show.
Not in community theater. No.
I would prefer a good live orchestra to a click track. And I think only because I like that.
It's more immediate.
You like the wrong notes?
Well, no,
you're saying a good orchestra.
I didn't say a bad orchestra. But at the same time, we are a community theater. There's something to be said for allowing your entire community to be a part of the process. There aren't a lot of outlets anymore for musicians.
Let me just say, allowing them to be, I would love to allow all our good local musicians to be a part of a musical production here rather than having to go out and drag them in by the hair.
Sure.
And be beholden to them for every night they give up to come in here. They don't want to rehearse because they're not getting paid. It's volunteer. Only it's not volunteer if they don't come in and say, I really want to do this. That's just not being paid for something.
Yeah.
Volunteering is different.
Okay. Yeah.
Volunteering is something you really want to do.
Well,
and you
musicians are used to getting paid.
Yeah,
I mean,
they
that's an issue that we run into. You know, not all, but I mean,
well, in some community theaters are paying their musicians if they're having live orchestras. They do pay.
Yeah.
You know, we're still
in the non-pay stage.
That's right. But you know, and of course that depends on your music director as well, and a music director who has connections in the community as well. But I still put up with the splats every once in a while, and the blats, you know, because I know that they're in the orchestra.
I mean, in the audience.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, I have been. I mean, I go to community theaters, other places too, and I see bad orchestras.
It's the overall picture. It's not just us.
Volunteer orchestras 90% of the time.
Yeah.
Have not all good musicians.
Right. Or they're young.
Well, yeah. Or they're old and they can't play anymore.
It's easier to find a good pianist usually than it is to find, you know, a whole orchestra with other kinds of instrumentation too. Sometimes, you know, that's
because you get the thing.
If it's smaller groups are easier.
A good musician, a really good player, they get paid on weekends. They have gigs. They have little bands that they play.
Right.
They can make money.
Sure. Yeah.
So why should they come out here and donate their time?
But do you, I guess I still think what's here I'm stuttering, but I still think I think that we should try to give people that option though. Maybe we don't use ClickTracks for everything. There aren't ClickTracks available for every show.
Right, I understand that.
You know, for example, a lot of Stephen Sondheim's shows don't have ClickTracks. Now we know Into the Woods does. We've heard it. We've seen it. It's a beautiful ClickTrack. Assassins does not have a ClickTrack. Company does not have a ClickTrack. And you can go out, and I don't know if that's because Stephen Sondheim has said, I don't want my shows ClickTracked. I don't know what the issues for that are.
Right.
But that can create a problem. And so then you are kind of requiring yourself to have to do a live orchestra. And I think it's okay every once in a while to have your community come together to create a full event. Without a ClickTrack in there. Roll your eyes, Marcia. That's okay.
I'm just saying come together. Yeah. But we all agree that if somebody is really, really good, 9 times out of 10, they have jobs every weekend. And that's when your productions
are. We've had really good people in here that have not necessarily wanted to be paid and love doing it, but it does make a difference. Where do you find ClickTracks? I mean, the ClickTracks are not necessarily like Music Theater International doesn't actually have the ClickTracks, right? Or do they?
It's a different company.
Yeah.
You end up, but they work, and I don't know that they work solely with Music Theater International, but you do kind of contract with an outside agency when you use the ClickTrack. You can find them. You can go online and look. There are a number of different organizations that are creating canned music. They're hard to find sometimes, but they are there. I've often been curious to know if they would create, like if you got a hold of them early enough and asked them to do a show for you that is not one of their regular shows, if they would be willing to put something like that.
Yeah, because it's the sort of thing they could sell to another theater company later. Now, a lot of the youth productions that we've done have had, are those ClickTracks or are those just like a CD soundtrack?
Now, that's just a CD soundtrack. So it is a kind of a different situation. It is a ClickTrack. But there is no manipulating that music at all.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, once...
Well, in a way, for kids, that's good.
Well, it is good because they're... And it's the same with adults, really. They're using that music from day one for rehearsal and for... And a lot of those things, like with Music Theater International, where they come with the CD, they also come with a piano conductor score so that the pianist, if you wanted to, you could play just piano.
Right.
You know, with it, you wouldn't have to use the CD. Most people do choose to because it is fully orchestrated. But then, you know, you don't have to use the CD only for rehearsal. You can actually bring in a pianist and you can rehearse with a piano player who can play parts and things like that. Now, what happens with these ClickTracks that you're renting from like MTI for a full production? They actually have a thing that's called rehearse score. So it's a rehearsal score that's on the computer that you can split out to I think up to 5 or 10 different computer stations. It's like you can have computers in rehearsal rooms where an actor go to a rehearsal room and they can pull up just their line of music, rehearse with just their line of music, and then you can add it back into the rest of the choral work and sing along with the choral work, and then you can put the orchestration behind it and sing with the orchestration, so that you can, it's a much broader idea of how to rehearse. Most of us, unless you're in an educational situation, don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you can't make it available. So, you know, if in your theater you have a room that you could dedicate a computer and somebody has their lunch hour and they want to come out and rehearse, you can make that room available to them to rehearse over the lunch hour with the computer, and they can get a head up or a foot up on what they're doing maybe that night before the rehearsal starts.
It's nice that you can split it out, and you don't have to have a pianist help you do that.
Right.
In that case,
you know, you can send, or that can be dedicated to, for example, one of the lead performers. If it's a large role, you could dedicate a computer to a lead performer that they could take home with them.
Uh-huh.
And then that could be a rehearsal process for them at home. I'm thinking like a show like Will Rogers Follies, because I've done it twice, where, you know, having that at home it would have been really helpful for me, like when I was learning rope tricks and things like that, to have that music so I could sing along to it and work the rope tricks and the dialogue as it all goes together. It could have been a very helpful tool for me to be able to have that at home.
Right.
Cool. In my basement.
With your ropes.
So, but I do think if you get a good click track, they can be a real help to a musical. But I still think as a performer on stage, there's nothing like singing to a live orchestra. Even if it's not a full orchestra, it's cool when it's a full orchestra.
Well, most,
but it's fun when it's not full.
The shows now that tour, the national tours, they usually have two keyboards and a drum and maybe a bass.
Yeah, usually the
a couple or a horn, a couple of pickup players, but two main keyboards, and that's where you get your whole orchestra.
There's a combination.
It's like the evolution of television, kind of. You went from to digital. You went from full orchestras with little tiny pianos, and then you got the electric piano. And then the keyboard that could do 75,000 musical instruments. And now you're getting a track.
It's just
evolving. And I don't know what's next, but I really, as long as it's a full orchestra thing, I think the next step
is you're going to get like a little chip and they're going to embed it in your ear.
You're
just going to hear the music there. It's going to be in your earpiece.
Orchestra. Go to the Shark Tank.
One of the things that is bad about a click track is what happens when your computer goes down.
Oh yeah. Right.
And so that's, and
no
that
power,
is,
yeah.
Yeah. And so that's, that can be an issue. What most people who use click tracks, if they're using it as a full orchestration without any other instrumentation underneath it other than piano, then your pianist sits and plays along with it so that if it cuts out, at least the piano is still playing. Or in some cases, the pianist is playing silently along with the score. And then so the piano is in the orchestration on the computer, but they're playing silently on silent, but their hands are still moving.
Right.
And then if for some reason the computer cuts out, and I've known like one company where the computer cut out, the pianist reached up, hit a button, and just continued to play until they were able to bring the track back in. So it can get a little bit freaky because it is technology, and all it takes is to hit one wrong button and you go back 5 measures, which can happen, if you're not careful, hit a button and all of a sudden everything slows down because you have that capability when you're using these keyboards to slow something down.
That's funny.
Or you hit the repeat button when in reality you didn't need to repeat. So some things can happen with the keyboard, and that's one of the reasons why the person who runs the keyboard
should be a musician.
Either that or really understands music, has a feel for music, or is a music director, a conductor.
Somebody who can sit there and count and can tell how many measures in you are and know where the downbeat is at least.
Right.
Because it all has to be, it's got to be somebody like that, I would think.
And I often feel that way about people who run lights, though, for musicals. And we can talk about that, too, at some other point, maybe on another show. But
people who run lights should be musicians.
Lights for a musical, not musicians, but they should have a feel. Music, because with a straight play, a lot of times the lights are not necessarily. Are pretty simple. You know, you may have they some mood lighting here or there. You may draw focus here or there. But with a musical, sometimes you just have to feel where the music's going to know where to throw the cue. You can be as precise as possible, but because the lighting designer isn't necessarily following a score, they have to be able to feel the music so that they know where to throw a cue. So that's kind of the same with a computer when you're doing a computer orchestration.
That's true. Absolutely correct. I never thought of that, John. Very good.
But the computer can be scary and fun and exhilarating to run it the first time, especially. It's I'll never forget, because when we were doing 9 to 5 and we had the computer orchestrations behind it, and the one night the person who was running the computer wasn't able to be there. And so I ended up sitting in the orchestra. I was the orchestra that night, you know, and it was so I had to sit with him a couple of nights to watch what he was doing and to know what was going on. Then I came in and I rehearsed what I was doing, so I knew what to do, because it was scary, you know, because all it takes is to hit the wrong button and you've sped up everybody, or you've changed the key, because you could change the key. If something's not working, you can actually change the key on a song.
The moral of this whole thing
is, just don't do it in the middle of the song.
You better be on good terms with your keyboard operator.
You should be. Yeah. As a performer.
Yes.
But it is kind of fun. That is another really cool aspect of the digital music, is that if for some reason the key is not working for the person on stage, sometimes you can change the key with these orchestrations. So, and it just changes everybody. I mean, it changes the trumpet, the violin. You know, you don't have to try and ask them, the live musicians, to rescore something, or you don't have to pay for a rescoring, because you've actually been able to change the key right inside the computer.
That's great.
Okay.
So if you're using it as a full orchestration, that can be helpful. Not everybody, that's not available on all these orchestrations either, all these recorded click tracks.
Well, I think it's a new thing, and it's up and coming, and it's available more and more and more, and it's being used more and more and more.
And if, then you need to budget for it.
Yeah.
You know, you need to, as you're creating your budgets for the coming seasons, and you know you're going to do these shows, make sure that you budget at least $2,000 to $3,000, if not more, for these things to be incorporated into your show.
Yeah, you're not saving money necessarily.
Right.
But you're gaining other things.
You may be gaining a more professional production.
Right.
But you're losing money. So you either need to find underwriters to help pay for it, or make sure that it's incorporated into your budget so you know you only have $10 for costumes.
That's it. There you go. Okay, so what's the key?
That's another story.
Music is more important than costumes, according to John Chubb. No, you didn't say that. All right, never mind.
But it is.
All right. Well, that's I think we've covered it. Think about Click Tracks. Tell us write to us. Email us about your experiences using alternative music sources for your productions. Maybe you have some ideas that we haven't touched on here. You can write to any of us. It's either Dave, John, or Marcia at theatergeeks.com, and we'd be happy to think about it and maybe read your email on the pod, as we say, and maybe cover this subject at some episode in the future. Also, please be sure to send us your ideas and your requests.
We may call you and ask you to be a guest.
We might even call you and ask you to be a guest. We've actually, believe it or not, that's happened. Several guests on this show, and future guests, I should say, are people who have contacted us with big fat questions, and they end up getting to talk about it with us. So that's a lot of fun. Please be sure to stop by our store at theatergeeks.com/store. We have hats, cups, mugs, all kinds of good stuff, and Marcia's favorite is what?
The coffee mugs and the teddy bears.
And before we leave, can I also just real quick put in a plug? We're in the top 20 again for a different.
Well, actually, hitting top of the pods with American Theater Magazine.
It's thank you
their
all.
Online page. So thank you to American Theater, and it's you can find that online at I believe it's americantheater.com. You caught me flat-footed, John. So
sorry,
I don't know.
I knew I was.
I don't know exactly what the URL is, but look it up. It's a magazine. It's also a website, and they are regularly introducing us to new listeners via feature called Top of the Pods on American Theater website. So thanks very, very much for that. Let's see, what else? Oh, you can pick us up on iTunes. You can pick us up on Apple TV. You can get us on TuneIn, the Blueberry Network, and also Stitcher, On Demand Radio, and I don't know where else. Just
everywhere.
A whole lot of
everywhere.
Other,
everywhere.
A whole lot of other places. Yeah, actually, every once in a while, something pops up, and I say, "Oh, we're there." Okay, that's fine. It's just because you know we get picked up and added to someone else's directory. Anyway, it's great. Anywhere good podcasts are bought and sold, check us out. That's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.